Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Okay, so let's get started. Kate Elpo is a communication consultant, producer, and coach with a background in dance and music, along with a degree in TV cinema producing. Her work focuses on building often intergenerational bridges between offline and online communities, and her wide array of expertise lends itself to professionals in the educational, helping, and creative fields. Kate works as a communications consultant and creative producer with leading Baltic voices in education supervision, body-oriented and family psychotherapy, art therapy, and social work. Her many collaborations include the European Association Dance Movement Therapy, the National Library of Latvia, and Baltic Contact Improvisation Festivals, just to name a few. Wow, that's quite the resume. So please join me, everyone, in welcoming Kate to the conference.
Thank you. That was an introduction. I think the time is running, and I'll just jump in and start. What I have to say is that I'm very grateful to be here. I'm in awe that I can be a part of this amazing event, and I'm very happy that I can share. And I really hope that you'll take something out of our together with you, because bridging the offline and online is a passion of mine for many years. And I do it, and I'm so passionate about it because I believe that people offline looking to transition or to work online, they have something amazing to give. And there are people offline and online looking for that. So creating that bridge, allowing people to meet on it or whatever side of it, and actually live a more human and connected life is what I'm really looking for. It's when I work. So I'm very excited, and let's jump in. I'll share my screen and start with my story. Can you see me? Any tech host? Yes. Great. So moving and embodying your online space. What I wonder is, and maybe you can put it in the chat or you can just answer it for yourself, is what spoke to you and what did you expect when you read a title like this? It might not be the most apparent title, or What does it really mean, and what did the presenter meant? Or I'm curious in what did you read into it, or what did you expect from it? And I'll let a few seconds for that. Yeah, I'm reading amazing chat responses. Inspiration to embrace the non-physical nature of the online world. I'm gonna put that quote on the back of my wall. That's amazing. And that's very much so what I'm looking forward to as well when I'm speaking about these topics. Yeah, activate people to really feel a connection. Actually make some work online and not be afraid of doing it, or be afraid and still do it, be courageous. So all of those things, feeling more easy with being online. Yes, I'm so feeling you all with that. So when this title came to me, this is what I thought about. So my work is a lot with understanding and then being understood. So kind of this intrapersonal and interpersonal spaces, and how can I bring them together and how can we bring them together? So when I thought of moving, I thought, well, yes, it's setting up, it's moving to work online. It's kind of this pretty practical thing as well. But then it's also kind of moving, like the waves that move around you. So moving is influencing the space around you, kind of influencing the environment, influencing others around you. And also also influencing the way how the online sphere moves. You know, it can be more ethical, it can be more human, it can be more embodied, and the way how you move into it and move in it can contribute to that. And then embodying, well, when I come into this online space, people, you know, they project and they expect and they look for someone who would embody something that they are looking for. So there's this one part of how do others see me, but then to actually do it, you know, to actually be online and do what you do, I need the energy to do it. I need to really then physically kind of embody whatever image that they see and with whom and how I want to connect. I actually have to as well feel right about it. You know, it has to feel right in my body, in whatever I put there out there online. It has to feel right for me. And the last thing, you know, I could have written just an online space, but I felt very strong about saying your online space. And again, yes, it's devices and platforms and it's your personal account of something somewhere. You know, part why I'm so passionate about it, about all of this, is I really believe if you have something to give offline, it's almost like a hologram that there on this online reality or parallel is a place for you. Just as you're taking up space in the real world, just as you can and you have a space to take up in this virtual world. So, and I really like to say that, and often to clients that have actually worked for decades or worked for a while, and they know they have something to give and they have proof to show it, let's say. And then I love to say, to tell them that, you know, it's not about you going out there and creating something from scratch, from nothing. It's about going out there on this virtual reality, virtual space, online space, and kind of taking up the space that you actually have. It's already there. You've already done all the work. Now it's only about, you know, bridging the gap and showing it to people who are looking for you just online. I hope that kind of moves us towards the mood and the content of what we're gonna continue with. Write a yes in the chat if this speaks to you. Show some kind of sign if that makes sense. So moving is not only physically moving, but also what impact am I leaving? Embodying is not just presenting some kind of image, but also doing it in a way that feels right and that actually generates energy for you to actually do this work. So in your space, because you have a space out there, you know, you do. I really believe in that. You really, really do. So whenever I start to work with someone, or in general, when you think about moving online and doing something online, there are fears and questions that come up. And through my experience, these are some of the, you know, the ones that come up the most or the quickest or they're the first ones, you know, that it's going to be too impersonal. You know, it's just, I don't want to work with masses of people somewhere, somehow, you know, that I don't actually want to do more work. I don't want to burn out from, like, now I have another platform to kind of like bring what I do. And I don't want to be overloaded from like social media and attention span and all of that. And a completely realistic, normal, like, a worry is, you know, it's going to take a lot of investment, a lot of resources, either, you know, money, attention, other hiring out other people to actually create this space, you know, a website, a brand, a logo, you know, all of those things that are pretty much, you notice them and people talk about them a lot, and their whole industry is built on that. So some of those moving questions and fears come up. Then some of those more, you know, inside fears, more embodied fears, I don't know how to call it, but it's less about the technical part and the schedule. It's more about, there's going to be a lack of connection. There's going to be a lack of trust. And definitely, you know, nobody can argue that the physical presence will not be there. And it's just not going to be as effective. And especially at the beginning of the year when the lockdown started, and I worked with a lot of people, with amazing people who just had to move. They just had to move, like right now and right here, to the online space. And we didn't have that much time to kind of like, let's talk this through. Let's, I don't see it. Okay. I'm going to check my screen sharing. What's happening? Sorry, guys. Is this better? Yes. Thank you. This is what happens when you're so excited. I'm going to slow down a bit as well, get in my body. So I was working with clients at the beginning of the year, and we didn't have time, you know, to talk through everything and, you know, find the reasoning for everything, find the best way for everything. But what we had time was to reframe a bit those fears and to look at that in maybe a bit of a different way. And we talked through a bit of research. You know, there's quite a lot of research looking back, even early, late 90s, early 2000s, already then people are looking at what is the client experience online, and actually that they still get the same benefits, close to the same benefits, the same benefits. And of course, it's very specific to each specific case. But talking about the fears mentioned before, about the overload, another space, I'll have to invest into a website and things like that. How we reframed it with at the beginning of the year, and in general, what I invite people to look at is that it's not going to be, well, it might not be, but that it's not going to be impersonal and just working with masses, because you do have the chance to focus in on your audience. And a great example there is, you might work in one country and you might have expats or people who speak in your language that are living all around the world. And now they do have the chance to work with you, either a therapist or a creative consultant, whatever work you do, there is the chance to not get lost in masses, but actually speak to your audience, find your audience, and let them find you as well. There is the burnout can be replaced or reframed with the idea of, I can actually deepen and develop more of my practice because I can offer and speak of that more and find more people who connect to that. And also overload of I'll have to, you know, be on many platforms, I'll have to do many things, can be reframed or replaced with this wish of, I can share what I know accessibly, I can talk about my values and about my practice, and I can connect with people. And I believe you can do it your way, that you can think of, where are my people, and be there. Do not try to stretch yourself thin right from the get-go by being everywhere and being everything to everyone. I guess, who wants that? You know, I guess, who wants that? Come on, don't do that, guys. So, and about the branding, and, you know, gotta make a website, gonna be crazy. If people work with me, and in general, I encourage everyone to think about the bigger picture. Just get online and just build whatever you're building good enough. I don't know. Did someone like felt that when I said good enough? But I'm saying that it doesn't have to be unique. It doesn't have to be like one in the world. Oh my God. It has to feel right for the right people. So that means you and people who are looking for you and what you can give and how you can help them. And I'm very passionate about that. Maybe because it's been a while since we've been online, and you've seen different websites, different people offering different things, and so on and so forth. So we can really allow ourselves to go minimalistic or go whatever kind of direction we want, because, you know, it's all been tried and done, and it just has to feel right for the right people. And the other part of questions and fears, the research shows that. And also in my experience and experiences of my clients, the great part of the online work, and now thinking about one-on-one or group work, I want to highlight two examples, amazing examples where in a and I'm sharing them with permission. So one of them is in a supervision group where people are, you know, tuning in and sharing, supporting each other, talking about different questions. I think it was a teacher supervision group. A lady raises up her hand and actually brings a question to the table that later on she admits that she would never talk about it where we all together in one room. It would just feel too close, even though, you know, we're all like this looking at each other, but it still would feel, this physical presence would be too close, too intense. And I would guess when I'm saying something and I'm in the same room with it, you know, I'm not letting out this idea somewhere there in the camera away. I'm very aware of it. Like, it's very much with me. But if it's maybe something that's a bit difficult to talk about or it's challenging, you know, kind of letting that out and letting it be in this space in between, on the wires, in the cloud, whatever. It's a bit, the distance helps me, you know, helps me see it from afar, helps me feel maybe less, you know, close to it, less stressed about it maybe. And it allows me actually to express more and talk about it and have that distance that actually is very much useful, happens to be useful. And then of course it is in the hands and responsibility of the facilitator or leader to notice, you know, those moments if they can. And I would suggest try to, you know, when the session ends or when the conversation ends, try to bring that back and still, you know, bring it back in the body, bring it back to the person who kind of let it out in the cloud. And the same goes with maybe hands-on physical practitioners, where they, if they have the chance of working with a person remotely with instruction, with rather than them running and, you know, squeezing your shoulders and bringing it up and bringing it down, but they are instructing you with, you know, bringing it up, feeling the sensation, you know, letting it down or whatever is the next step. What practitioners have noticed that there's actually a heightened sense of own body and sense of just sensation that people can lean into and learn and develop. And it's also a greater sense of personal ability, you know, and responsibility, because, you know, I didn't go away from this session thinking, well, that was a great practitioner. She really like squeezed me right, or she helped me with this and with that. Like, I don't have any chance to say that. I left my session and I switched off my camera and I felt like, man, this feels good. I feel so great. Or woman, I feel so great. And I did it, you know. I was led by someone, I was helped and supported by someone, but this is my body that I moved and I can do it and I can move it. And it's amazing to think that a lot of you now tuning in, I would guess, are facilitators, teachers, you know, practitioners, that you all as leaders with something amazing to share can actually keep leading people and keep, you know, showing the way or helping them, that there is still this, I wanted to say hope in these difficult times, there's still hope. But yeah, you are here for a reason and you have something to give for a reason, and nothing can actually stand in the way for you doing that, because people need it. If they're here, they need it. Getting overexcited. So what we're going to do now before going on to next steps is I'm inviting you all, whether sitting or standing, to move a little, I guess, shaking the weight that you have and that we just had in our head so much, or at least I did, and shaking it kind of down to your feet, really shaking it out. Or you can shake a finger, whatever, but just really, I need you to be more in your body than we just were, I imagine. Shake it out, and 3, 2, 1, and let's move from shaking to stretching. So whatever side you want to start, but let's start the front. Take care of your back if you have to. Stretch to the front, to the back. So trying to stretch all the sides that we have to the side. I love that. You look great. Those that I see, you look great. To the side, and let's try to twirl a little. So twist a little around our core. Heavy breathing in the microphone. That means we're working. And it's really, we can feel it. And 3, 2, 1. And I'm inviting you to sit back or stand if you want to, and have a moment with the body and with yourself. And I invite you to close your eyes and breathe in, breathe out. And whilst with eyes closed, I want to ask you to imagine your online space. It could be a light sphere, a circle, like an energy ball, I suggest. I hope it shows up in your closed eyes presence. And I have a few questions to you. How do you want to move into it? You know, it could be big or small. Or how do you want to move with it? Can you sense what is the feeling? What's the sense in your body when you're now in this presence of this online virtual energy or space or presence? I imagine somebody maybe being in it, somebody maybe holding it. And I wonder, how do you feel whilst being there or whilst holding this ball of energy or possibility? And I wonder, now when you're with it, how do you want to move? Do you want to move somewhere with it? Do you want to give it to someone? Do you want to pull it close and put it inside? Now when you're with it, how do you feel and what do you want to do with it or do? And I'll invite you to stay in that feeling, sensation, mood. And open your eyes and return to continuing the story. And what I want to continue the story with is that there are different levels of moving and embodying your online space. And that's a good sign. And that's a wonderful thing, because there's not one thing. There's even more than what I will offer, but I'm very happy to share what I see as the levels, how we can move. The first one that I usually talk about is the first one. And it's, I exist online and you can find me, you know? Usually it looks like a business card type of website, just something with your name, with your contacts, and maybe a basic professional information, you know. So I don't hire you for gardening or amazing landscape design, but I hire you for for amazing dance or for a coaching session, all of that good stuff. So it's enough. And it's amazing already if you are just there taking up that space that actually is yours online. So you exist there. And I like to call it the space of communication. So that's the space where, you know, you're sending out signals and people can send some signals back. And whilst I'm showing these ways or spaces of being online, you can check in with yourself. What feels right? What feels connecting with you? What connects with you? So the next one, we'll still have, you know, I exist online, you can find me, you can send them ping to me, you can communicate with me. But what comes next is, I actually share about my practice and myself a bit. It can be sharing articles, you know, that are maybe an interview somewhere, and you share it on your social media or on your website. So it's sharing, being open with, showing who I'm, who I am and what I do. And it also would mean I do offer online sessions, mostly one-to-one or group work, but it's like an extension to my physical and real practice. And I love to call that kind of level or stage the space of connection. And as you see, the little kind of center space, I have to find a word for it. If somebody has like a cool way how I could call this, write it in the chat. I love to have a better title for it. So now this presence, this virtual online presence, this embodied presence, you know, it comes from the center, but now I'm in it. It's almost like a bubble, and I can connect with, you know, people come to my bubble and we can connect, and they can actually have those experiences with me online, not only offline. I'm there. And then the next one that I would say for me, I would present as kind of the last one, is I exist, you can find me, I do share what I do, and I do offer some interaction online. And I do offer this interaction online, but I also create content for the online. So either this is actually writing, like blogging on your website, sharing, like writing your own articles to put on your website. Is it that you have a Facebook community that you take care and cherish and are interacting with them? And also, besides one-on-one work online, you might be offering on demand, you know, online video recordings or training programs or training programs. So what you can see is from communicating, from connecting, what happens next is I'm actually in the space of community that I can actually build and create. Because I'm here, you can find me, I'm up for working online and connecting online, and now I'm up for creating something for the online or for the shared space already. And for the shared space already. So next to each other, they look like that for me. And whenever I start a project or I work with someone, I do ask those people, I ask them, you know, why do you want to be online? What do you want to do there? What do you have to contribute? What is your audience? All those good questions. But I also ask, you know, no matter the demands of the world and the virtual world and, you know, Corona world and all of that, no matter of that, all of that, I ask them, like, what feels right for you? What is the space that you feel, yes, I can move into, yes, I can embody, you know, yes, this feels the effort and what feels right in terms of what can I give and what can I receive? And really be honest with that. Really be honest with that. And I think partially it's because, you know, you can move. You can move between those spaces. And a great example, a short great example there is, a therapy center that, you know, has worked for years offline. They're well-known, they're well-liked. And then they do have a website. So it's kind of in this space of communication, you can find them. You can get in touch with them. You can go and have a session with their amazing therapists. And they move on and have some kind of original articles by those therapists and by those practitioners at their center. They also have some video lectures, something of that happens. And now, and I'm actually currently working on something like that, they've moved into this space of community. And they're building actually a regular subscription-based platform. So in simple terms, just the website where you pay to be a part of it and see the content. But they're actually kind of producing that, you know, they're making a separate thing, knowing and having, you know, having this data that we have a lot of people that actually find us online, that connect with us online. And actually now we have a community that we can serve. And I've heard the, you know, the joy of somebody, as I already said, for example, living in a different country, but knowing that I can tune in, you know, I can have this community, I can experience either a practitioner that would not be available in my area, or have this experience in a language that I would not have the chance to have. So the benefits there, keep growing, keep giving back, as you can imagine. And when I was making this slide, I thought how interesting that these three spaces kind of respond as well to the main fears that people usually have, you know, about it being, I don't want to work impersonally or with masses, I don't want to burn out, and I don't want to feel, you know, building some kind of meaningless community by just socializing without an end. And it made me think of how could it be when we're kind of moving into this online space, when we're thinking of building something there, could it be that if it doesn't feel right and those fears come up, that we're maybe pushing ourselves some kind of level too far, or we're asking of ourselves a bit too much at this point right now. And it could be that, you know, I'm in the space of communication. I just want to send a ping out there. I just want to send a message that I'm here and this is what I do. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to burn out from trying to connect with everyone and share everything, you know, what I'm doing, what is it about. And that's good enough. That's great. Because that will help you then either build something and develop, or really, really embody that space where you're at and really enjoy it and see where it takes you and see where it leads you. And I think that's of a great value, no matter what happens online and what you might, you know, what we should do. I do believe that even in those online and virtual realities, you are in the center of everything. Your energy, your, you know, your mission or whatever you're doing in life, that you're so passionate that you're ready to go, you know, go this mile with like internet and a camera and a mic and all of that, you know, that is in the front, that's in the center of everything. That's front and center. And all of these online and virtual things, they have to come through you and they have to make sense to you when you do it. So when you look at those, I hope you connect to one of those. That might be a wish of mine after a session like this, that maybe this brings some ideas, some order, some relief, maybe some ideas of what you could do or what you could just not do. Anyone stressed out about branding everything, I'm saying, if you need permission, I'm like, don't stress about it. Don't worry. Just do something that feels right. So whatever state or wherever you're at, I really hope that you enjoy it, because that will be the energy needed for choosing whatever way you want to move and whatever way you want to embody and take up that space and do what's important, do your life's job, work. And I've run out of slides and fast talking, so I have to slow down and ask my tech hosts, what should I do now? Because I can share a final slide, but I can also not share it, and we have some time left.
Yeah, I mean, we have a few questions that came in, if you'd like to take those before you get to the final slide.
Great. I'm going to find those.
So the first one is from Fernando, who asks, what would be the first steps to get my own online space without spending an excessive amount of money? And I think this question is probably applies to a lot of people right now that might have been economically impacted by the shutdown.
Mm-hmm. So the first thing that comes to my mind, and that is an investment, but just stay with me. So it's getting a domain name of your own name. And just getting it and securing it, it might be from $8 to $12 a year. So it's a $1 per month investment. And then there are websites. There are website builders and just platforms that allow you to create a simple business card type of, you know, web presence connected with that, connected with the domain. So it's personalized. So it feels just professional enough and you're good to go, actually. You're really good to go. And one of my websites is based on that kind of platform. And let me try to annotate that. Maybe I can do it. I want to write it down for someone who's interested.
You can also drop it in the chat box too.
Oh yeah, I can, right. But that's one of the sites that you can go, like, right after a session, go to card.co, I think, and get an account. It's all for free. And get going, get creating.
Do you have any other platforms in addition to that you recommend?
Actually, there are quite a few. And I guess the question is, the first steps to get online could be as well, you know, creating that Instagram account with your name and with very clearly written what you offer. And it depends a bit, of course, from what is your audience. So I would say, yes, securing a social media account where you can be, you know, quickly available and seen by people is great. And then if you have the chance to invest, let's say those a few bucks in getting a domain name and having that kind of free platform, and then go for that as well. And now I'm thinking in my mind that I'll just, I might prepare a list of those kind of really quick websites you can go and do, if that's something that could be more of use that you can click on and take a look later. But card.co is one of that I can suggest right away. And because of its ease of access, and because it's really not, you can use it for free.
And on that note of resources, Fernando has a follow-up question about any books or, you know, simple, relatively introductory materials that you might recommend to get started.
Oh, that started on what? I would ask, like, is it in regards to
That's a follow-up question to his first one about the, getting started in an online space. Mm-hmm. So any books or articles that you recommend just for, you know, maybe getting your mind right.
I'm an online baby. I would say that if you find a platform, like I just suggested, or getting a domain and getting a simple platform that you can use, then the first step would be Googling how to actually set it up, you know, how to connect a domain with a website. I would even not go for books. I would go for, if you want to set it up, go for practical tips, and you can find them online. There are heaps of people who have created tutorials, videos of how to do it. And it might sound like I'm copping out from giving answers, but man, there's so much out there. And really getting, befriending Google as your best friend and YouTube tutorials has been very useful for me, of course, for my clients as well. And you actually learn how to do it yourself. And it's another part of embodying that space of, like, I know what I'm doing and it's kind of mine. I know how to deal with it. But I'll think about it, you know, I'll think about some, if I know some books that could be just in that space. But there's a lot of, like, online books, let's put it that way, rather.
Awesome. So Taz asks, in a visually driven space like Instagram, for instance, how do you recommend embodying that space and growing your audience?
Mm-hmm. Amazing question. It is so visual. I guess I would first ask Taz, like, what have you done and what has not really worked? And what is the growth that you're looking for? So is it numbers or is it engagement? So numbers being more followers, or an engagement being maybe more comments, more people writing privately to ask something, do something. And I would also look at your field, you know, are you a yoga teacher? Are you a dancer? Are you a massage therapist? I don't know, a coach, and so on. So it would be actually as well field specific. So I'm just now realizing how personalized all of this usually is. And I so wish that I could give, like, straight answers, but I would just go even deeper into what you do and how do you do it and who are your people that you can really serve, and by experience, who've you served well and connected well, and think of ways how to do it. And it could be the same, you know, visual post or visual quote or something, but it could be the color, the design choice. It could be So using the same media, you know, there's still video, still photo, still graphics that you'll use most likely, but the way how you're going to use it and the way how you're going to present it will, I think will bring the bigger difference. And of course, videos work, going live works, but it's really your audience and your field specific. I hope that answers. I really hope.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? We're still feeling our way through this, right? And one of the great things right now is we're all getting a chance to do this together. So I think you're giving me a ton of inspiration. And what from what I see here in the chat, I think you're giving everyone else inspiration as well. Nikki has a great question here. When most, social media and online platforms can feel inauthentic, how do you recommend creating authentic connections online? So you mentioned, for instance, like going live and what other tools or methods?
Yeah. I censored myself a bit because I felt, oh my God, this will sound harsh or like maybe not really right. But my first, like my answer from my body was like, you do you, be you, be so you that it's really, really authentic that you feel that you're being you. And that was kind of the first my body's response that, you know, you might not get the same. That's one thing you can guarantee. I'm here. I'm kind of in this online space and I'm really trying to speak my truth, speak my values, be how I am. And that is one thing you can guarantee. You cannot guarantee actually any of those responses or following or any what will come back. You cannot guarantee that. There's no kind of, there are practical things such as like posting, you know, in the time when everyone's having their morning coffee, you know, that will bring more engagement just because there's more eyeballs than posting in like in 3 a.m. and your people are, you know, sleeping then. So that will change the intensity of the interactions coming your way. So there is a practical side to this, of course, but I believe that more people who know how to be authentic, how to embody their something real when they're online, the more you all are coming up and taking your space online, the more you're changing this online space. And as I said, you're as well moving the space, the more you're impacting the way how people see what it can be and what it is. So the first thing is asking yourself, what is the most kind of honest and most valuable thing? How can I add value that is most honest and true coming from myself? And then connecting with others in terms of, for example, Instagram and other social sites from a technical side. Yes, if people comment and you reply, if you write a personal message and you have a chat, those big platforms and those algorithms, they do notice whether your content and whether your interactions are of high value. So if there's a lot of comments and you reply and there's a conversation, the algorithm detects this as this is valuable. I'm going to push it up so everybody can see it, so more people can see it. If the algorithm sees that you're privately messaging with someone, they will push up your posts and show that person more of it because it thinks it's of value to that person. And so these interactions are valuable, thinking of growing and finding new people. And then what I can say is, I actually have a thing of when I go on Instagram and I have nothing there. So I'm a great example of staying in the first level. So I have, when I go online and go on Instagram, I kind of go there and I do this spree of just not positivity, but I go and I really let myself loose with commenting good stuff on people's things. If somebody really moves me, you know, it feels really real and it moves me. I don't really think about that, you know, I have a website and I'm like a serious person or something. Well, apparently I'm not, but you know, all of those things, I just go in the comments and I'm like, this looks so nice. It makes me feel so nice. And I leave a heart and I just don't think about it and I move on. And that's actually a great way how I detect what really speaks to me honestly. And I try to maybe overcome some of my, you know, those, I would think I have to present this person, but the truth of it is like, I go all caps lock and like, a post with like, this is life and a heart, and it works for me, and it actually brings me authentic connections, and that's one thing that I can definitely say yes, reaching out, commenting, writing messages, it will help you technically algorithm and all of that, but then maybe trying to do it your way, with really being honest with it, and yes, being courageous with doing it, because that is a step out of, you know, the norm of going to somebody who's also in your space. Let's say I'm a beginning coach or something, and then I go and try to be in this online coach sphere, and it can be very overwhelming. But if I stay honest to myself, I will really, pretty soon, I'll see who I really like and I'm attracted to. And I believe things that we kind of get attracted to in this kind of positive and kind of that kind of way, there is a longing in our soul, almost like a recognition that I am that, that is part of me. I want to be closer and I want to experience it and I want to merge. So go into this open field of people and profiles and offerings and look what speaks to you. And then you can actually look in deeper and think, you know, why does it speak to me? Maybe this is a way how I want to, you know, build this thing of mine. And so on. Like it can be a great tool of inquiry going in this online space, but staying in your body, not, you know, really, really going in, but with yourself, do not leave yourself behind the screen, take yourself with you. And just maybe as a note, I've seen so many practitioners having, you know, a few thousand or even less. Like, it's not about the numbers, it's not about the vanity metrics, it's all about your experience and can you actually day to day be of service and do the job or do the work that you want to do. And if that comes in the center, you know, maybe you end up creating a subscription-based newsletter with resources every week on the topic that you are really deeply in or your research, and you don't need that Facebook thing, or you don't need that, you know, Instagram thing. Maybe your people like to receive those messages personally in their email. They want to connect like that, and you have that website out there, or you have that account just so it's there. So yes, stop me.
I mean, that's so beautiful. And the vulnerability that you're talking about, it's to be able to feel that these days, sometimes it feels a little threatening. Sometimes it might feel scary, but to hear you talk about how much it's done for you, I think is a really great gateway into so many of the ideas that you're sharing with us today.
Yeah.
So I want to give you a few more minutes to get to your last slide, and then we'll come back. We'll give people some time to add any last minute questions, and we'll pick up the Q&A from there. How does that sound?
That's great. And it's great because I don't really have much left for y'all. What I had was that I'm kind of closing up this presentation, and I'm just like the little person with a heart. I'm feeling like that. I'm very, it's a bit vulnerable, it's a bit scary, but it's so fulfilling, and I'm so grateful. I'm so happy for having this time together with y'all. And I hope through all technical things and whatever else happened whilst I was kind of talking and being excited, that you still were able to be with me, and I really hope that there are some nuggets, there are some ideas, or there's some reassurance that what you've been already thinking about, you know, that there's some girl in Berlin sitting and she agrees with you and she has tested it with a lot of people by now. And just that, an offering of great gratitude and an offering of connection as well, of connection and friendship. And I know that sounds a bit funny because, you know, we're talking about online and it's all virtual and so on, but when I was putting this presentation together, I just felt like putting the last slide with, there's no offers, there's nothing like to ask you to do something, but there's an invitation of, you know, let's be friends and let's connect. If there's something that spoke to you, any feedback, any ideas, anything actually, drop me a message, drop me a line. And it's my email that I'm putting out there. And it just felt right. And I think maybe because it is easy to forget that we are people across those little screens, and that all that we do, even online, it extends us as human beings. And that's what I really believe in. And that's why And that's why I want to, I think, close this with an invitation to be friends, whether with me or whether with anyone else you connect and authentically see or be drawn to online, and believe that it's just a bridge. That's what I believe. It's just a bridge. It's just another parallel to really be here now, really be in this body, really have a human experience. And yeah, and that's actually it. That's that. Make a screenshot or find me online and drop me a message. If you have any questions, any of those specific, drop me a line. I'll send you a link to whatever can be useful for you. And again, I'm so ever grateful for this chance to speak with y'all. That's that.
We had a few requests for you to just run through the slides again real quick, because everyone was really excited to take a deeper look at what you had there.
And send me a message and I'll send those slides to you as well. Like, do that. I'm happy to do that. Cool. So where should I start?
You had two or three slides, right? Yeah. So yeah, we have a little bit of time to just kind of pass over each one real quick.
Okay. So that's nice. A recap. So I started with just giving my insight on why I chose this title and why I thought it's great, because moving is both physically moving, you know, setting up something online, but also my influence and the waves that I create around myself. Embodying is both, you know, what do I present for others and how they can find me and connect to me, but also, you know, it has to feel right. Whatever image I put out there or website or whatever, it has to feel right for me, because that's where the energy to do it all comes from. And then the big belief that you have a space. There's already space for you. It's just a matter of you getting on it or getting in it or however, and making it yours. Yes.
Can you run through, because on the screen, we still see the slide with the body and the heart. Can we just take a look at the first couple?
Oh, so sorry. I thought you were.
That's okay. No problem at all.
Okay. Yes, now you see it.
There we go.
Okay. So what I just said, the moving, the embodying. Hope you're seeing this. Yes, the online space that you have, just go and take it, and take it in the way that you feel is right and feel is, you know, you can actually do it. Then we talked a bit about our fears and questions. You know, it's going to be too impersonal. It's going to be, can you see it? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh my God. Yeah. Too impersonal, burnout, overload. Got to make a big site with a great brand, stress, and then as well, connection, trust, lack of all of those things. And then I did some, and then I did some comment on my experience and some research that there is a way how to reframe those fears and move forwards. And there is a way, and there is proof that this distance can be of use, either to access things that when are too close are too close, and that this distance can give us chance to actually come turn around and come closer to ourselves and to our body and get more confidence in that we can do it. Ability and responsibility. Then we moved a bit. And I hope you did do it when we finished, because this has been a lot. And we talked about the different levels of embodying your online space. And I won't maybe, okay, I'll quick click through them as well. So, and the first one that I noted was, I exist, you know, I exist. Oops. I exist and I call it the space of communication. I have enough energy and will to let you know I'm here and what I do, and so you can connect with me. That's great enough. That's good enough. That's wonderful. The next was the space of connection. When I actually share more about my practice, about myself, I connect, I extend that, you know, circle a bit. And I also might give one-on-one sessions online, so kind of bridge that online and offline a bit more with my practice as well. And then the last one being the space of community, where I extend that, my space, I extend it even more so I can actually, create content for this online reality, for this online space. I invite other people here. I can offer on demand, you know, so it's recorded. People can watch it whenever they want. I don't have to be present for it. And it also can mean nurturing an online community, such as Facebook groups or creating your own online platform or something like that. So now I have the energy, I have the resources, I have the will to actually go into this, expand it into a space of community. And what I definitely suggested was that, hey, wherever you feel is right for you, is right for you. Really go for what feels right, because you just have to start. With a lot of people who are just moving to this online space, just start. And it's great. It's great to start because then you can grow, right? And yes?
I don't mean to interrupt, but just in the interest of time, I wanted to close out with a few thoughts. And while I'm going through those, if you wouldn't mind dropping your email into the chat,
yes.
I'm going to encourage everyone to reach out to Kate directly that is interested in the slides and any other questions that came up. Just a few notes to close out the session. Next up on the Leadership and Business channel at 11 a.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. UK, we have some great content coming up, Embodied Dignity at that time. And we want to continue the conversation. We're going to drop a link into the chat for the Embodiment Conference Coffee Break series and also the Embodiment Conference Facebook page, where you're all invited to share your thoughts. As we said in the very beginning, this presentation is going to be available for 48 hours for free online. And then after that, you'll be able to purchase the recordings. And if you do purchase access to the library of the conference, you get extra notes, audio versions, and learning lists from the presenters. So it's a pretty cool deal. To close out, I really want to ask you, what is your top tip that you'd like to share with everyone to continue living an embodied life?
There's so much to say, but I guess, I kind of prepared it, but now it doesn't feel, what feels right now is that it doesn't have to be special, unique, different, doesn't have to be anything of that. It has to feel right for you and for the people and for the right people. So check in with yourself, whatever and however you choose to move, let's say in this time, online.
Well, that's a beautiful sentiment to end on. I really want to thank you, Kate, for being so wonderful today. And thank you to everyone that joined us on Facebook and in the Zoom recording. Have a great day.
Thank you all. Thank you, Maggie, for laboring through with me with as I saw the slides were not happening as they were taught, as I thought they would. But
that's all right. We all heard you nice and clearly. So it was a wonderful presentation. Thank you so much. I think Christopher has already gone. So I'm gonna close the call now.
Yes.
We'll catch you in the coffee breaks, perhaps.
Yeah. Ciao.